All right. Thank you again for being here this morning. And so thanks for being in your place. We're going to look at Psalm chapter number 1 this morning. And I just want to share some things I think will help you. And then, Oscar, can I get a little bit more on the monitors? And I think I'll be doing really, really good this morning. I like, when it comes to learning, I like simplicity. Okay. How many ever heard someone talk and they can make something that's super simple, super complicated? How you know I'm talking about? It's like it shouldn't be that hard, right? And so things that are simple, they're structured, they have steps, and you can understand it very, very easily. By the way, if you look at books, publishers know that. You know, they'll have some subject made simple, right? I want to learn a program. Like I did design here for a while. Pastor asked me, hey, start doing our graphic design. Well, I didn't know anything about it. So I got these programs and I'd go get the books, right? You know, learn Photoshop in 24 hours. It's like, but I didn't realize you had to stay up for 24 hours straight to get it, right? It was super. But I like, and you know, learn Excel in 10 easy lessons because that's simple. We all like simple. I like to read. I read a book one time, believe it or not. It was called How to Read a Book. And I thought, how complicated can that be, right? Someone suggested it. It's like you open it up and you read it. But the whole concept was very simple. It was like how to get the most out of a book you read. I don't remember much. I do remember this. He said, when you're reading a paragraph or a chapter, focus in on the first paragraph of the chapter and the last paragraph. Because the first paragraph, they tell you what they're going to talk about. And in the last paragraph, they summarize what they just said. And so, simplicity. I like simplicity. I think sometimes we can take Christianity and make it complicated. Now, there are things, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of things we need to learn. We need to constantly grow. But when it comes to the basic, I think it's fairly simplistic. There are some portions of Scripture that you feel like you could preach over and over and over and over. Psalms chapter 1 is one of those. In fact, I keep track of what I preached and when I preached it and so forth in my Bible program. And I've preached several times out of Psalm chapter 1. But you know, one thing I don't want to get is to where I can read that and something new jumps out at you and you don't want to preach it because, well, I've already preached Psalm chapter 1 before. And Psalm chapter 1 has so many just very good principles. We don't want to let the familiarity behind the verses keep us from getting the truths that God wants us to have out of them. We don't know who the writer of the psalm is or the story surrounding it. Many of the psalms, you can actually get a lot more out of it because you know when it was written and who wrote it and why they wrote it. There's like usually a background. When we looked at David's forgiveness a few weeks ago, we knew that that's what that psalm was about, and it kind of helped us to learn it. But this psalm is not like this. But if you look at this psalm, it is the perfect psalm to start the book of Psalms. It's simple, it's structured, it's direct. And as with a lot of the truth in the Bible, it really leads us to have to make a decision. Okay? We don't just come to church to hear truth like, that was cute, that was nice. Let me file that in the cabinet. God wants us to look at his truth and say, now based on this, what should I do with it? And Psalm chapter 1 is pretty point blank about it. It really is telling us about spiritual choices we have. There's two paths we can choose. There's two different ways to live. There's two different outcomes we can experience in life. And there's two different responses that we can have to the truth of God's word. And so Christianity and spiritual growth, I don't think, are as hard as we make them when it's what we have to do. It's all about making the right spiritual choices. It's all about upfront doing the right spiritual things. We can determine that a person who is struggling with their spirituality is probably making some wrong choices. And we can also determine that a person that's progressing and going forward and starting to see some spiritual growth and fruit in their life, we can probably determine that person is making some right spiritual choices. And so with all that here, looking at Psalm chapter 1, I think Psalm chapter 1 gives us a really good summary of the Christian life. I know there's a lot of you in here this morning. Some of you maybe been around for a while and you know some of this. Some of you are probably new and Christianity is a little bit new to you. And so I want to either, if you've been around for a while, give us a little bit of a reminder, or if you're new, an outline of what is the Christian life about? Now, there's so much more to it. Don't get me wrong. You can crucify me after, oh, you know, what about spending time with Jesus and all that stuff? You know the foundation, the basics. I'm talking about some of the things that are involved in choices that we're going to have to make if we're going to choose to live on the spiritual path. I see six of them, one from each verse. So let's give a summary of the Christian life. First of all, I want us to understand that there's don'ts. There is don'ts. Okay, let's look at verse 1. Now, I like the way it starts here. Blessed is the man. Now, this verse talks about don'ts. And you're like, well, wait a minute. Blessed, joyful, happy is the man, and then we're going to give you some don'ts. And so what our problem is, sometimes we look at the scripture and we look at some of the things that God says don't be involved with and we say, that's negative. Is it really? Are don'ts negative? If you're raising children, right? You teach them don'ts. Don't cross the street if you're not going to, you know, look both ways. You know, don't stick a metal object into a plug-in. It's a really bad idea. And say, well, that's negative. No, it isn't. It's something that keeps them from having bad outcomes and helps them to have positive outcomes. And so he says, blessed is the man. They aren't negatives. They're positives because they keep you from the negatives. So the don'ts mentioned here speak of, and here's the principle here, speaks of influences that we should not allow in our life. Now, we can allow the wrong influences in our life if we want to experience negatives, or if we don't want to be like this man here that's blessed, right? I mean, come on. We all put, you know, these people, hashtag blessed. That's cute. But life should be more than a hashtag. Right? I'm surprised our governor is not trying to kick hashtags out and make those illegal. He's trying to make memes illegal. He might want to read the Constitution, but that's a message for another day. So we're going to face choices every single day. And the thing is this, if we want to be blessed, if we want to be happy, we have to make the right choices. And you know, the thing about human nature is we are easily influenced. And if we're not careful, as we come to an important decision, we will make it based on wrong influences. And so he said, you want to be blessed, you got to make sure that you don't have these wrong influences in our life. You say, Pastor, that's not true. We're not, you know, we just don't follow influences. Okay, so what do advertisers do? They use people to promote their product because those people want to, you know, wear my shoes and you can play basketball like me. No, you can't. Wear his shoes and he makes a lot of money. And you may look like him from the ankle down, but you don't play like him from the ankle up. Are you with me? Okay? They know we're influenced. By the way, I'm getting old enough to the point now where I remember when athletes weren't trying to tell me how to think. I don't want someone... So, yeah, I don't want to make you mad, but we'll just run with this one. I don't want someone to tell me how to think and what's right just because God gave them athletic ability to jump really high and run really fast. Because most of their lives are a train wreck. And they're going to tell me, well, how I should think, vote, act, and feel when none of that affects them because they got millions and millions of dollars in the bank. And their families aren't doing very well. It's getting a little quiet here now. But so back to kindness here. We got to watch our influences. How do you do that? Look what he says. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Be very careful. And by the way, let me say this. I don't want to come across mean. If a person's not a Christian, they're not a Christian. They're not going to think like a Christian. That's just how it is. I'm not mad at them for that. But what we got to do is be spiritual enough to understand, look, they're not looking at life from a Christian standpoint. And so maybe I should be careful not to let them influence me. Okay? He says, blessed that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Getting counsel from an ungodly person will always be wrong. You know why? Because what a person is will influence how a person counsels. Our character level is going to influence what we say, what we think.
Yes, sir.
What a person believes will influence how they counsel. If they don't believe God, look, I had all kinds of thoughts running through my mind before I was a Christian, before I was serving God. And when I got right with God, I started to realize, hey, none of these are right. I started looking at the Bible and like, you know, there's kind of a conflict here, God and my mind. And I had to be very, very careful. And I had to say, you know what? I'm just going to buy into what God says because he knows so much more than me. Do you know what a person values influences how they counsel? Well, how they live, the things they're receiving in life. And so we need to be very careful about that. Now, look, I'm not talking about if someone, I don't care if they're unsaved. If my car's broke down and they know what to do, fix it. Right? Come on now. But you better be very careful. Because sometimes you'll go to a class and you'll sit in a class where they're supposed to be teaching you math. Now I'm going to meddle. And that teacher's going to tell you about how to live. No. Tell me what 2 + 2 equals. Actually, you should know that one, all right? Tell me how to do geometry. Because all I see is a bunch of letters and numbers together, and I thought those were different. But don't tell me what's right and wrong. That's what's going on. We allow somebody outside their area to give you these types. So let's be very, very, very careful. Counsel is like people telling you, counsel is sharing how you should live your life. Yeah. If I go to a doctor and he gives me counsel and says, listen, if you keep eating that, you're going to die, I can listen to that. But if I go to a doctor like somebody I know went to the doctor, the first question out of their mouth says, do you think you're a boy or girl? They need to shut their mouth. Come on. I'm feeling something there. What in the world does that have to do with going to the doctor? You gonna try to talk a little kid out of their gender? That is not going over very well, but that's okay. That's the counsel of the ungodly. When kids go to school, and I know somebody that did, in the very first day in kindergarten class, they ask them, do you feel like you're a boy or a girl? I am upset. One third of the class chose the other. And they're like, we'll be talking to you parents about that. That has nothing to do with education.
Yep. Come on.
That is perverse, godless, and awful.
Yep. Yep.
Huh. That would have been the last day my kids in that class. Come on, that is so ignorant.
Yeah.
Every year, and I haven't done it this year, my daughter teaches kindergarten class. Every year, I'm going to go in. I'll go in there for a few minutes. Hey, kids, how's it going? You want me to fire? They're like, oh, yeah. Like, and I'll say, hey, what do you want to be when you grow up?
Yes.
I already said it, Ace. Love that kid. Ace goes, I want to be a pterodactyl. Like, okay. See, if he was in government school, they'd say, like, you need to learn how to grow wings. He's 5, man. Roll wanted to be a monster truck. Talk about transgendered. How about trans mechanical? They're kids, man. All right. I don't even know what I was talking about, but that's counsel, telling you how to live your life. Teach me something. Teach me how to read. Teach me how to write. Teach me about where this country is and where that country is. Teach me the facts, but quit telling me how to live if you don't know God.
Come on. Yep.
You know, it was really going to be good today. All right. Secondly, he says, avoid their conduct. Look, nor standeth in the way of sinners. This is like being around somebody who's living an openly anti-God life, let's just say, right? By the way, parents, you know, your kids sometimes misbehave, and it's like who they're hanging around with. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, I'd get in trouble. My mom's like, you're hanging around with those Esposito guys. Pastor Esposito. Like, so I blamed me on Pastor Esposito. Pastor Esposito blamed him on Brother Esposito, Johnny, and you blamed it on my brother. That's right. That was absolutely right. That was our chain of you know, getting out of it. My brother had no excuse. Yeah, he probably shouldn't have dropped out of school. He was in junior high. But there's always, it's like, be careful. My mom's like, you shouldn't hang around. And then other guys. And it's like, you don't realize what I'm doing when I'm around them. I might be a bad influence. But be very careful. The point is, I love everybody, but if someone's lifestyle is totally 180 degrees different than Christianity, I'm going to be careful about letting that influence my lifestyle. Okay, that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying we're better. We're not better. But we're careful. That's what I'm saying. And then we ought to avoid their criticism. Nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. The scornful. You know, the easiest thing in the world it is to be is critical. It's really easy. That's why I'm good at it. And so are you. But there are people that can, that listen, you could take the most positive thing in the world, and you, there are some people that can flip it and make it negative. Oh, by the way, they're called the media.
Yeah. Amen.
That's why I don't listen to them. Yeah. It's like, if I wanted to be suicidal, I can find other things. I don't need to watch the news.
Yeah.
But it's like, we're just scorners. There's some people that, it's almost like their life goal is just to say negative things. And by the way, I get it if they don't know the Lord. I get it. But don't let that influence us.
Yep.
You know how it is when you were growing up? You'd like, you see some girl and it's like, wow, she's really, I think she's really cute and all this. And your buddy's like, she's a hag. And you're like, oh, she must be a hag because my friend said that. Okay, that was probably a little bit too close. You know what I'm saying though. You like something and then somebody's like, that's ridiculous. And it's like, oh, okay, it might be ridiculous. Maybe they're ridiculous. I don't know. But listen, I'm not saying that we hide things or we should not try to fix things that are going sideways. You know what I'm talking about. Some people are just critical about everything.
Yeah.
Don't let that influence you. By the way, I've heard this, and I know it's absolutely true. A person who will speak critically to you will speak critically about you. Are you with me? How do you know what I'm talking about? They'll come to you like, you know, so-and-so is just blah, 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 blah. And you know what they do? They go to so-and-so and talk about you. But be careful, there's certain things in the Bible, particularly when it comes to influence. And so as we're trying to move forward in the Christian life, what we need to do is we need to start being careful about what we allow to influence us, right? We already know it, because we're transformed by the renewing of our, so what we put in here comes out here. Let's just be careful about what we're allowing to influence us. And in the times in which we live, it's everywhere, so you gotta be really, really, really careful. So there's don'ts. Number two, there is dues. Dues. Verse two, but there's a transition there. You want to be blessed? Don't do these things, but that means do this. His delight is in the law of the Lord.
Amen.
And in his law doth he meditate day and night. So what we are to do is wholly related to following the Word of God. That's it. That's it. Instead of letting stuff that's not Christian influence us, what we say is, I am 100% in on the Scripture.
Amen.
The Scripture says it, I'm in.
Yep.
The Scripture says it's a good idea, it's a good idea. The Scripture says that's the way to live, I'm going to do it. Do. Very important. That is why the ungodly influence in verse 1 is destructive. Because what it is, it's getting us to trust in things which aren't scriptural to use as the determining factor of our life instead of going to this which is factual, which is true, to determine how we live our lives.
Come on.
They're competing. And he says, hey, go to the truth. The truth is always, always there. He tells us how we're to do that. We're just to love the Word. His delight is in the law of the Lord. Delight means desire, longing, pleasure. Fact of the matter is, most people see the Bible the way most people see vegetables, right? And I'll eat vegetables, but man, come on. You put a plate of vegetables in front of a child, you're going to ruin their day, right? And we look at it like, oh, I know it's good for me, but ugh. I'd rather have a Snickers bar. After all, it has peanuts, and peanuts are vegetables, right? Okay. I mean, isn't chocolate, don't you grow chocolate? Therefore, it must be healthy. Okay, maybe not. But it's a mindset. And it's like, you know what? No, the Bible's good. The Bible is something that we delight in. Think of something that you really, really like. It's like, man, it's a delight in my life. As a Christian, we need to get to the point where that's the Word of God in our life. It shouldn't be something that we just endure. It should be something that we want to engage in. We should love the Word is because we understand its rightful place in our life. J. Vernon McGee said this, God has no plan or program by which you are to grow and develop as a believer apart from His Word. You can become as busy in your church as you want, but you don't grow by activity. And he says, well, how do you grow in the Word of God? He says, by going over it again and again in your thinking until it becomes a part of your life. Amen. Right? That was that different for if you got saved later, you know how that was, right? It's like, man, I started learning the Word of God, and it wasn't the key thing in my life at that in my mind because I had so little of it, and I'd have these decisions. But the more it got in there, the more it's like, okay, it's easier to make the right decision because God's Word is in there, and it's just pushing me in the right direction. But I had to love His Word. I had to get to where it's like, I don't want to just carry it to church. I got to read this thing, and I've got to make it a part of my life, and I want to know what He says. And then why do we do that? And in His law doth He meditate day and night. We're thinking about it so we can live what it says. Meditate means we're thinking on the Word of God, allowing its truths to be fixed in our minds so that it leads our actions. It's a state of constant reflection on the Bible as we face the decisions and actions of our day. Think about that. We were at singles retreat, and the singles heard this illustration, not the elephant one, we'll get to that one eventually, that was good. But he started dating a girl, and he went to his dad, and he told, hey, there's this girl I'm dating now, and I'm really interested in her. Well, his dad had done a little research and found out some things about her that he felt made her not for him. Pastor Brown grew up in a Christian family. He said his dad took him out by a lake. He was talking, and his dad said, she's not the one, no. And he said he got mad. Told his dad, I don't know exactly. He said, you don't tell me what to do. I'm not listening to you. I am going to be with her. Something like that. And he turned and started walking away. And he said, I was mad. And his dad was just standing there like, wow. And then he said he took no more than 5 or 6 steps. And he said this verse just flashed in his mind, you know. Children, obey your parents. Come on. I mean, 6 steps, and he was mad. And he was like, come on. What? Children, obey your parents. Just trust them in this one. And he turned around. He went to his dad. He was still mad and says, I'm going to do what you say. And he turned and left. He said he went back to his room. He goes, I was mad. He goes, but man, that scripture was in my mind, and I knew I had to do what it said. Now, his testimony was, if I would have been with that girl, I would have ruined my life. But again, now that's a radical out there thing, but you know what changed his mind even though he didn't want to do it? The scripture that was in his mind. That's what he's talking about. You see, when we get the scripture in our mind and we learn it, there's going to come times there's a decision. And if we're open to God, you know what's going to happen? He'll throw that scripture out like, hey, here's the decision. And we're going to say, I may not understand it, but God's speaking it, so I'm just going to do what God says. There's dues. We could look at some other things, but I'll bypass that for now. Look at verse 3. The third thing there is, there's don'ts, there's do's. Hey, there is rewards. There is rewards. Serving God has good things. Yeah. not doing the things we're not supposed to be and doing the things we're supposed to do, it has rewards in our life. There are real-time good consequences that come because of that. Look at verse 3. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Doesn't matter necessarily the climate. If something is so close to any river that it's going to get that water and it's rooted and it's getting that water, it's going to grow.
Yep.
Right? And that's what he's saying here. You are going to be like this flourishing tree. You'll be rooted like a tree planted. You know what the problem is for most of us? We're all over the map. I mean, one day we want to be a missionary to Mars. There's no people up there, so don't do that. The next day we won't even come to church.
Come on.
One day we want God to work in the situations of our life. The next day we've even forgot about what God wants us to do in that situation. We're kind of up and down. And by the way, that can happen in life. But he says, you know what happens? You get rooted. And no matter how you're feeling, no matter how things are going, you will be solid in your faith and you will not bail out on it.
Amen.
That's stability. Wouldn't we all want stability in our lives? I don't know about it. I want stability.
Amen.
I get it that there's circumstances and things of life we have to deal with. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about who I am. I want to be stable. Because if I can be stable and rooted as a Christian, I'll be stable and rooted in every responsibility I have in my life. I'll be a stable husband. I'll be a stable parent. I'll be a stable Christian. I'll be a stable friend. And all these different things. He says, like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The picture there is growth. The growth. You're getting nourished. You're not going to be barren. The water is going to come into your roots. Don't we want to grow?
Yep.
Don't we want to keep going forward? By the way, in any part of life, when you quit growing, you're going to start dying.
Yep.
You say, Pastor, I'm a newer Christian. You've been a Christian for a long time. Can you tell me when I'm going to get to the part where I got it all down? Yes, heaven.
Yep.
Till then, it's upward. We're just going to keep going forward, growing forward. But he not only yet, by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. We're fruitful. Man, I want to look at my life and see in my life and say, God is doing something now, not because of me, but he's doing something in my relationships and all these different things. And I can see there's some spiritual fruit because we're trying to do the right spiritual things. Don't you want that in your life? Don't you want to look at your life and say, there is fruit, there's evidence in my life by what God is doing, that my relationship, that I'm going the right direction, I'm trying to do the right thing? Because God will give you fruit. Okay, and there's so many different things in the Bible, the fruit that it talks about. Look at what he says. By the way, let me say this. Say, Pastor, what is my growth level as a Christian? What is your fruit level?
Yep.
By the way, there's nothing wrong. Say, Pastor, I'm new at this thing and I'm starting to see a little bit of fruit. That's good. Keep going. Right? To me, if I'm getting a little, give me a lot more. Just keep going. You're going the right direction. And that helps us. And he says, his leaf also shall not wither. I mean, it's not like you're having fruit now and then it dies later. There's continuance.
Yep.
As long as you're staying and doing the right things and you're staying in the Word of God, you will go and you can grow and you can stay where you're at. I don't know what kind of Christian you are. I know many of you, and I'm excited to see you grow and go forward and all those things. But I'll tell you what, 10 years from now, I'll know what kind of Christian you really were. Where are you 10 years from now? You still growing? And, well, this happened in my life, and this happened in my life. Those are just excuses. Because we're not supposed to determine our life based on the outward circumstances. It's our relationship with God.
Amen.
And you can blame somebody else, and you can walk away, but that's not the problem. The problem was your relationship with God. And the good thing is, if we'll just stay with him, we'll look 10 years down the road and say, wow, look where God has brought me. Look where I am now. Look at how much better things are in my life than they were 10 years ago. You'll continue. And then I like this. Now, let's not take it out of context. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
That's right. Amen.
Think about how can, okay, you're saying, wait a minute, God says anything I do will prosper. We're like, okay, I'm going to go play the lotto. I should win. Okay, you know, I'm going to go bet on the Raiders. They should win. There's no amount of prosperity is going to change that. Actually, they're good this year, so I'm not going to say anything. No. I can go do bad things, Pastor Myers, and I'll prosper? Nope, because the prosperity is tied to the word.
Right.
You know what? If we're following the word wholeheartedly, we'll want what the word wants, we'll do what the word wants, and whenever we do those things, God's in on that, and that's going to prosper.
Amen.
It is, because we want the right things.
Yeah.
I get the idea that God's kind of on our side. Number four, as we hurry, there is consequences. Now, there's always an opposite, right? And we need to understand that. He says in verse 4, the ungodly, excuse me, those who are guilty of sin against God or man, that's really what that's talking about. And you think about that, that's the two greatest commands anyhow, right? Love the Lord thy God, love your neighbor as yourself. Yep. First one is good. The second one's a little bit harder to get there, but we can. He says, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. The chaff's on the outside. It really has nothing to do and comes off and just blows away. So we have to understand, and if we choose not to do these things as a Christian and our life starts to gravitate more away from the word of God, you have to understand there are real world consequences to that. Just like there are good consequences, the fruit, the root, all that stuff, there can be some negative consequences if we avoid that. See, if we follow the counsel of those who are not spiritual, then we're going to have fruit that is not spiritual. We're going to have consequences that are not spiritual. Well, that's negative. I know, that's why I like the other part. If we follow it, we're going to have consequences that are spiritual. We're going to have rewards that is spiritual. Remember, there's always consequences. God's desire is that we grow and mature as Christians. We understand these consequences so that we stop any actions that would bring them. Right? Isn't that what we try to do when we're raising our children? I will say that's why we have a lot of problems in our society, because we've kind of quit doing that. As a parent, raising a child isn't just clothing them, sending them off to school, feeding them, and all those different things. That's part of it. But it's also trying to teach them that, hey, you've got decisions to make in life. If you make the wrong decisions, there's going to be bad consequences. But if you make the right decisions, there's going to be good consequences. That's what we're trying to do. We have to understand this. What happens is, if we get away from the right type of life, he says, our life is like the chaff. And understand what I'm saying here. That means it's worthless. And I don't mean you're not worthy. You're not of worth. Jesus loves us. Amen? I'm talking about the results of your life are worthless. Is that, if you understand what I'm saying? You're not a worthless person, but the things that are going to be coming out of your life are of no value. It's just, it's fluff. I don't want to live my life for fluff. I want the real substance. I want the real deal. And that's what he is saying there. And he's saying that, really, which the wind driveth away, it's just wasted. I don't want to look back at the end of my life, and unfortunately, that's getting a little bit closer than it used to be. I'm not old, but I'm older. I don't want to look back at the end of my life and say, you know what? I wasted it. It was like, what did I live for? You know, the thing, the leadership thing we've mentioned many times. You know, I don't want to climb the ladder of success and realize it's leaning against the wrong wall. I don't want to get to the end of my life and say, I live my life for this, and I'm looking back and it's like, you know what? I've not done anything of any eternal value. I've not made an impact or influence in anybody's life. And by the way, it starts in our families, right? That's the very first place we want to make a difference. But I just want to live a life where I can say, you know, Lord, I was in on what you wanted me to do, and I did the best I could, and I followed you. No one ever looks back at that and says, you know, I served God, and I followed him my whole life. What a waste! No one ever says that. Never. And then lastly, we're lumping verse 5 and 6 together. Do you realize there's also accountability? Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Then look at verse 6. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. God knows. It's just good that we know that he knows. Okay. But the way of the ungodly shall perish. The ungodly, they could care less what God thinks. They're just, my life, my thing. They live their life without any thought as to what God thinks about their life. But the righteous, we know that God knows. Yep. And by the way, that's a good thing. We hear much about the fear of the Lord. And you say, what is that? Are we afraid of God? No, that just means I know I'm accountable to him. Children, understand what I'm saying here. Children should have a healthy, and don't let this word freak you out, fear of their parents. Not, is dad in a bad mood today and he's going to, you know, not that kind of thing. I'm talking about if they do something wrong, it's like, uh-oh. I got to talk to dad about that. I'm going to be talking to dad about that one today. How many know what I'm talking about? Like, you know, it's like, okay, I'm going to be held accountable for my actions. And that's what the fear of the Lord is. You know, Lord, I know that you see everything I do. You know everything I think. You've heard everything I say. And Lord, I just want to live in a way that I understand that I'm accountable to you. Yeah. That's it. Look, the Christian life isn't that hard. It's doing the things we're supposed to do. It's not doing the things we're not supposed to do. It's understanding there's rewards and consequences for every action of my life and that I'm accountable to God. And by the way, God's not down looking like, I hope they do wrong. That's not how it is. You say, well, Pastor, what do I do if I, in my accountability, I do something wrong? You confess it and forsake it. Yeah. God says, we're good with that. Let's go. So how's your life going today? How are you living? How are you making your decisions? Because it all really starts with that verse 2. Are we going to follow God's word and experience those things, or are we going to be influenced by that which is wrong? Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute if we may. Thank you for listening this morning. I got a little off script for a couple minutes, but that's okay. We try to make everything so complicated, but the fact of the matter is the Christian life is not a complicated life, is it? It's Psalm chapter number 1. Let's change the influences in our life, and let's allow the Bible, the Word of God, to be that influence in my life. I don't want to experience the negative consequences by not following the Word and living a life that would be closer to being ungodly. I want to see the fruit that comes from following the Word of God, delighting in the Word of God, letting it in my mind, letting it make my decisions. Because I know I'll answer to God for how I live my life one day. By the way, before we move on to the invitation, I'll say this. If you're a Christian, you'll never stand before God for your sin. I hope you know that. We're not going to go to heaven someday and stand before God and he says, let me look at all this. No. Jesus paid for all of that. And when I was saved, that's covered by his blood. I stand before him accountable for how I served him. But let me just say this today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will stand before God for your sins because they've not been forgiven. Here's the question. If you were to die today, are you 100% for sure that you would go to heaven, or do you have any doubt? If you're here this morning, you say, Pastor, that's me. I have some doubt. I'm not 100% for sure. Pastor, would you pray for me? If there's anybody like that at all, with nobody looking around, if you put your hand up, I'll pray for you real quick. Is there anybody at all? Okay, up here, guys. Yes. Can we stand together, please? Piano's going to play this morning. If God spoke to you, you say, Pastor, I'm going to be more careful about my influences. And Pastor, I'm going to be more dedicated to the Word of God, because I want God to work in my life. If God spoke to you about anything this morning, the piano is going to play. Why don't you come to this altar and pray to the Lord?